City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar
and And you're listening to Windy City Queer Cast, show number 480. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
You've been holding down the homestead a little bit while I've been off on my European tour.
I know, yeah. The grass is watered. Although I have to say, I did water those plants in the window, but the sun was not kind to them.
Yeah, they need water more probably frequently. I'm unaware of how often I put it in.
I know, and I was afraid... And I was afraid to overwater them.
And nothing died. It's all
nothing
good.
Died. No, but I cleaned a couple of
Mitchell was my garden boy.
Yeah, some of the leaves died. I think on the mint plant. So I just sort of took off the old
mint
ones.
Mint can't
stuff
be killed. Even if it looks
mint.
Dead, it'll come back.
I boiled it and put it in my tea.
So I'm still on jet lag. I just returned from central Italy from being in Rome, Florence, and Tuscany, and you've been to Italy.
I've been to Rome. Where did you say? Rome, Florence?
Yeah.
I've been to Rome and Florence. I haven't been to Tuscany.
Yeah, which is in between, you know, and around those two. North of Rome and all around and south of Florence. It was just the most lovely time. It's just a lovely, lovely country. And
it's
I fell in love with Rome. So the fact that I have not seen the new Woody Allen film, I've got to go see it to keep the dream alive because
yes.
Loved Rome.
Skip the Woody Allen movie and watch A Roman Holiday with that.
Okay, I'll watch that again. I got to tell you, I loved it so much. I found it to be like those people have muscle and loins, and I just mean in their attitude. Like they're chewy. They're chewy people that their personalities are just.
You know, they like bread and they like.
They do, but it's something different than that. Like, because everybody kept telling me how much I was going to love Florence, like Florence this, Florence that, because. You know, it's so beautiful, and Michelangelo, and just, Michelangelo's in Rome, too, but just, like, the beautiful, just the beautiful architecture of the city, so
stunning.
Cosmopolitan and all that kind of stuff, but I really fell in love with Rome. I just...
Rome is a cool place. Rome is a place where you can both get the beauty and also sort of a sense of urbanity.
Yeah.
Right. So what we're used to, like living in a big city. Rome is a big city. You know, it's a city.
Yep.
And but it still feels
well. And I was in the old city. You know, we were staying within the walls, within the old city, and so I didn't really get to see extended parts of Rome. But you know, went to the Colosseum, went to the Roman Forum, went to the Vatican,
Spanish Steps.
Yeah, and the Trevi Fountain, and you know, I'm not a Pope fan. Obviously, I was not raised Catholic. I am a fairly spiritual person, if not religious. I'm not religious. I wouldn't call myself religious, but I would call myself highly spiritual. And, I don't know. You could be an atheist and walk in there and just the enormity and the size and the art and the amazing sculptures. I'm talking about just St. Peter's, like not even in the museum. I mean, they own I don't even know how valuable that art collection, that whole area is. But just, you know, just St. Peter's alone, I was there for 4 hours taking pictures, and just the architecture, and, you know, who knew that the dome of the Vatican of St. Peter's is like literally, you know, the length of a football field on, you know, it's...
Isn't it something like the largest unsuspended dome or something like that?
It is, but I think the Pantheon is bigger.
It's not the size of it, that it's the largest of a kind of dome in which there isn't... Crap, I can't remember, because it has something to do with the way in which it's architecturally built and supports itself, which it just kind of shouldn't.
It's just breathtaking. And I mean, it kind of spoils you for every other church you'll go into.
You know what's
interesting? Not small and sweet.
I went to so many churches before I got to Rome
when
I was in Europe and in Turkey. And so I went to mosques and temples that by the time I got to Rome, I did not go to the Vatican.
Oh my God. You have to go back. I mean, I'm telling you, you'll go back to Rome and one day you'll go. Because it's a very cool area of town, like right off of Vatican City.
Mm-hmm. I passed by it.
Yeah. That's where all the young hip people kind of live, over on the other side of the Tiber River. But
Because like the Pope, they wear Prada.
Yes, like the Pope, they wear Prada. I did go into Prada.
Well, when in Rome.
I did buy a little Prada. But you know, it's, well, actually it's Milan, I guess. But yes, Rome, Milan, Italy, all of it, Prada. There's a Gucci museum. Who knew that in Florence? But anyhow, I digress. But Rome and the Vatican.
See, that's the stuff that gets me.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the Gucci museum.
Yeah, I will. But you know, just like, I thought that was fantastic. And I guess... And honestly, I kind of thought, I don't care. I don't care if I go to the Vatican. I don't care if I go to Vatican City. And now having gone, I would tell anybody, you have to go. And I had no real expectations that I would see anything at all. You know, people would say, like, you have to see... When you knew I was going to Italy, it's like, okay, you have to go to St. Peter's. You have to see the Sistine Chapel. You have to see the David in Florence. You have to, have to. And I had no have-tos and did so much more than I thought I was going to do, and also did that kind of like lazy walking by the river thing. And
nice. Well, you were there for a good long time. Were you there like 10 days or?
2 weeks. 14 days.
Nice.
So yeah, started off in Rome, went up to Cortona, which is, for those of you who've either seen the movie or read Frances May's book, Under the Tuscan Sun, is where she's from and is where the movie was filmed. With Diane Lane. Of course, I got the APB that Diane Lane will be coming to the Goodman Theater.
Which,
it came to me from every source possible.
And of course, all I can think of is, does that mean her mother-in-law is going to come and watch it? You know, her mother-in-law is, right?
Barbara Streisand. Yeah. Of course she will.
I mean, does that mean that
Diane's going to be at the Goodman? I didn't think
of that at all. See, that's the first
thing I thought. I'm so into Diane Lane that everybody was like, Heather Schmucker, my best friend, like, you know, sends me a thing and says, I know you're in Italy and all, but the world must stop for 1 second for you to take in this information.
It's brilliant.
But yeah, I didn't realize that where we were going was right where it was all filmed, and just, you know, this time of year, just endless, as far as the eye can see, fields of sunflowers. It was quite magical, and we had a lovely little via off with, you know, with some other folk who were staying there too, and a pool, and we kind of rested after Rome, because, I mean, we walked our asses off in Rome. It was hot. And it's a big city, and we walked everywhere.
How hot was it? What was the temperature?
It was kind of like it was here, minus like 5 degrees.
Really? It was in the 90s?
Yeah, it was in the 90s for sure.
There was some serious days. You missed some serious storms.
Yeah.
Serious storms. And I was just at a lake house in Michigan, you know, this past week? In Long Lake in Harrison, Michigan.
How was that?
It's ridiculously beautiful. My friend's parents own one of the most beautiful houses, and it's literally just right on the lake in a channel, and you just take the pontoon boat out into the larger lake. Or I rode jet skis for the first time in my
life.
You
did? Aren't they fun?
Oh my God,
they're
I'm addictive.
And
I'm real good at it too.
Oh, I bet you are.
I could be like a stuntman. Anyway, so I'm real psyched. Kind of psyched about it. There was a storm on Wednesday night that cracked the windows of the house. I mean, that's how...
There or here?
No, there.
Oh, I mean, because that's our windows.
It hit
cracked
here too, and like stopped, you know, O'Hare was sort of backed up. But literally, the windows of the house were cracked on the second floor.
Wow.
From the, like, the how close the lightning was.
Thank God.
And so the sound.
I wasn't here or trying to fly in at that time.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have made it in.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing, but it's kind of beautiful.
I love summer storms. I love Dixie summer storms. They're like my favorite things.
It was very sad. It was really beautiful. I mean, to sit in this enclosed porch and watch the storm over the lake. Then it just got a little...
Over the lake.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love watching a storm.
Oh, my Nothing goodness. It was so beautiful, right?
It's exciting.
Just sitting... We were just like sitting in the screened-in porch on the third level of the house.
One of my favorite things in the world.
Drinking white sangria and watching the storm. I mean, what more
We didn't have any rain. I mean, we had the most beautiful
Amazing.
Weather. We had rain our last day. See, we went all around and then came back to Rome to fly out of Rome, which was kind of cool. It was kind of like coming home to our same hotel, and we knew our way around, and we were like, let's go to this place and get gelato that we love, and let's go walk this path, and went to a new pizza place that was called Buffetta, B-A-F-F-E-T-T-A. I may be spelling that wrong, but anyhow, very well-known pizza, one of the top pizza places where people line up outside the door and you sit with whomever you sit with. But they had a big sign on the glass that said, don't mess with Texas, with bumper sticker, which I thought was so funny.
That is funny.
But yeah, it was totally such a cool place. But it rained, so we walked through the rain in Rome the last day, and we were like, we have been really lucky. We've had this gorgeous weather. Because once you get up high... Well, Florence was really hot too, but in outside of Cortona, and then we were also in a tiny town called Lucca, which heads you west of Florence.
Remember
it's
what
close
my half my family's name is?
No.
De Lucca.
De Lucca.
Of Lucca.
Of Lucca?
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who knew?
De Lucca.
And the Lucchese's, which was the only family that I knew that was Catholic when I was in elementary school and high school.
That was the only Catholic family where you grew up?
Yes.
That's hilarious, because everybody
Lucchese's.
I grew up with was Catholic.
I know, is what I'm saying. And so it's a different world, but they were talking about Lucca is called, the Lucchese's or whatever, Lucchesian. But we were in this little town called Lucca, which is everybody in Florence and in that area will vacation to the beach. And so in the summer, we did not go to the beach. There's a number of beaches, the coast right there. And
yeah, we went to a beautiful island. I think it was called Cagliari. I don't think
Cagliari. That sounds familiar.
It was really, really pretty.
But this little town was so sweet. It's supposed to be one of the most beautiful cities towns in Italy, and we just kind of found it. But it's so funny how many people have expressed that they've been there since I said I was going there, or since I've posted things on Facebook. So we're there, and they have a big summer music festival. And like Alanis Morissette had just been there. Tony Bennett was coming, would have been there coming this weekend, I think. And we arrived in the afternoon, training in from Florence. And when we arrived, we started seeing these signs, these big signs, Duran Duran. And we were like, okay, well, they're probably playing outside of the city. Because, like, if you think of it, Chicago, somebody might be playing out at Ravinia
or Rosemont
or, where was the place that you went with your huge storm?
Down in Tinley Park.
Tinley Park or whatever.
Tinley Park.
No. We're walking around Lucca. We've just gotten there. And we walk through, the center square, the center piazza. And there's a huge stage and banners, four blocks from our hotel. And all these chairs and all these buses, and I'm like, oh my God, I think Duran Duran is playing four blocks from our hotel. I was like, I don't even know if we need tickets, we can just hear it. Well, we walked around and there were some people selling swag. Now, let me just preface this all by saying, in junior high, there was no one who loved Duran Duran more than me. In the world, I would venture to say. I was not allowed to put posters on my wall, but my mother would let me put tape only on the top crown molding at the top of my bedroom. So I had literally one huge sheet that was probably 10 feet wide and 10 feet long. That was only, it was all taped to one another except one long piece of tape at the top of the top crown molding near my ceiling. That was an entire collage of Duran Duran pictures. Little bitty ones, postcard size ones, huge posters, all mashed together that I pulled out of every Teen Beat, Tiger Beat, 17, whatever the hell. I loved them. Never seen them ever in concert because they didn't come to Cleveland, Tennessee. I think they came to Atlanta once and I didn't get to go. So I looked at Carrie, who I was traveling with, just a friend, and I said, I am such a geek, but I would really love to go see them. I said, it's so crazy. We heard opera last night in Florence that we might see Duran Duran tonight in Tuscany. And we went around to the ticket office, and it was, 6 o'clock, concerts at 9 or something that night. And I said, you all don't probably have any tickets for tonight, do you? And they said, actually, the band just released some house seats, and we actually have some really good seats. We were two seats, center, 12th row at Duran Duran in a little piazza in, Lucca. And here's the thing, and maybe you know this because you've traveled outside the United States, but I've never been to a concert a pop concert. I mean, I've heard opera, and I've I actually didn't hear any music in Greece except street musicians. But, you know, I've never been to the West End, so I've never gone to see theater in the West End. But I've definitely never heard a rock concert outside the United States. I mean, rock, pop, whatever, pop, new wave, pop. But sitting in the middle of that audience, seeing Duran Duran with Italians was literally, I believe, like a manifested childhood dream come true on so many levels, because it wasn't just a bunch of gay men and women my age. It was all ages.
Right.
Tons of straight men with their, I mean, men, Italian men with their girlfriends, knowing every effing word to every Duran Duran song.
Same, I don't think that Europeans put the same, that like a... If you were to go see Tina Turner in Europe, it wouldn't be just a bunch of people going to see an oldies actor, a bunch of gay men who love Tina. Tina's like Elvis.
Yeah, I mean...
There's a different sense of it,
It's so crazy. They were so enthusiastic. They were jumping up and down. They didn't sit the whole time. They sang every word. And then, who knew Duran Duran had new songs? Oh, the Italians. They knew every word to all these new Duran Duran songs I'd never heard. I mean, most... There weren't that many. Right. But, like, there were, like, a few that I was like, I don't know that song. I don't know that song. Like, what song is that? Like, had to have been released on this new album or... Because they do have a new album out. But I was like, I didn't know any of them. And I'm looking like five people down, and there's this like Italian guy, and he's like singing every word. Yeah, of like, it's just so funny because you're thinking, I'm so singularly lingual. Like, I can only speak English, really, you know? And just to see them singing.
Lesbian.
And lesbian. I speak lesbian.
Fluent.
But I speak fluent lesbian. I'm very lingual.
Thank you. That was eventually the joke that I was headed towards.
I appreciate you helping me head toward it. I'm a little jet lagged, so I'm slower today. But I just love that there they are. Their primary language is Italian. They're singing in English with such passion. They know every word. It was very fun. It was
amazing.
Such a joy. And the funny thing was, bought the tickets at 6 o'clock, went home, you know, five blocks away, changed. I mean, it wasn't even as far as our house to Andersonville. It was like so close, you know, and then like changed clothes and then walked and had like the best meal ever, which is every meal that you have is better than the last one. The best meal ever, like had clams with spaghetti. Spaghetti and clams.
Was it a white clam sauce or a red clam sauce?
It was no clam sauce. It was just steamed little clams with about four cherry tomatoes sliced, and it needed nothing else. Like, so they're the best spaghetti and clams I've ever had in my life. I had it four times. Wow. We actually went back to this restaurant the next night in Lucca and had the exact same meal. I've never done that in Europe. Like, the exact, gone back and had the exact same thing.
When we were going to Nice every week, I kept going to the same place for lunch to get mussels because they were so good.
They were so good.
And then
good.
The wine, I can't remember the wine. I wrote it down somewhere at some point, but because the combination of putting a mussel in your mouth and then taking a sip of the wine.
I could say something about taking a mussel in your mouth.
Thank
too.
You. Talking bilingual.
Lingual clams. Clams.
It's my drag name.
Lingual clams. Oh my God. Well, it was extraordinary. So then, you know, you by 6 o'clock, get your tickets, walk five blocks to your hotel, change clothes, you know, walk and have the best dinner ever. And then like go, oh, it's 9:15. They're starting at 9:30, and walk like three blocks to the center of town to the piazza, sit center, you know, jam out with the, you know, Italians like a geeky junior high girl, and then like walk home, get a gelato with all the other throngs of people, and then go to bed.
Amazing.
Like, come on.
Was that your last night?
Next to last night.
Oh, amazing.
It was
amazing.
Brilliant.
I'm so glad you guys had such a good time.
We did. So I got to tell you, okay, here's my gay story, because I don't have many. I really thought, like, the first we arrived in Rome, I hadn't done too much research, because, you know, I live a very gay life here.
Right.
So I'm not one of those people that, you know, when I go to a town or a city that I'm like, oh, where's the gay thing? Because, and I think that when I lived in Memphis, or definitely when I, if I'd stayed living in East Tennessee in a small town, when I go to a big city, I would want to know where the gay place is, right? But my life is popping down to Mary's Attic to hear Megan sing,
exactly.
You know, going to a gay event, or going to Tees, or going to Sidetrack for, you know, when I'm on vacation, I'm just more kind of like aware of how I feel as a gay person, and you know, recognizing gay people. Well, you know, we were in Rome for like 24 hours or maybe longer, and I was like, and Carrie's not gay. She's straight, boyfriend, you know, who didn't mind that she was on this honeymoon with me, because it was essentially a honeymoon. We kept laughing without the sex. But I kept going, well, where are the gays? You know, where are the gays? I just thought Rome and Italy would be very gay. And I'd heard that Rome was fairly gay. And upon reflection, I found out there are a number of more like clubs that have a gay night,
right?
Which we weren't there on weekends. We were there in the middle of the week, so we didn't really seek that. We didn't have a reason to seek that out. But we were hanging out. We saw like no gays in Rome. I was kind of like, there's no gays in Rome. And so then we went to, you know, out to the Tuscany. I didn't really see any there. And then we were in Florence, and I was like, okay, where are the gays? Like, it was, I think it was the first moment that I consciously went. Mm-hmm. There haven't been any gay people. And we were sitting, there's a statue of David outside one of the museums. There's a piazza there. It's kind of a central piazza, kind of...
And by David, you mean Hasselhoff.
I need naked Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
And with no kit. We were just sitting out there one day, and they had a shell like area where people could perform, and there were an enormous amount of Japanese young, like, look like young high school students who were going to play a concert there that night. So they were all kind of warming up, and we were just sitting there, just watching, you know, just sit and watch people. And these two guys, two gay guys, probably your age, who probably looked Dutch or. I don't know. I would
more
say
Northern
Dutch.
European.
Yeah. Fair, white teeth, you know, whatever. I don't know. Just kind of seemed, you know, not Italian and not British and not French. Kind of were walking diagonally across the piazza. They each had a bike on their outside, leaned to their outside, but they were hip to hip with their arms interlaced around each other's waist. It's the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. It was so casual. And they were kind of walking with their bikes the same way Carrie and I were just sitting. Just kind of like inhaling it in.
I do think it's interesting. I do think it's interesting in Europe. It's almost, you know, when you say, where are the gays? It's like in America, we have certain tells, right? That, you know, that we call gaydar, right? That we can tell each other. And we like to think that it's somehow sort of mystical but I think it's behavioral. I think a lot in Europe the behavior is very different. It's why, you know, there's that joke about is he British or is he gay or is he just British?
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's just some, and even like, for example, in Turkey, men walk down the street holding hands.
Well, that's what they were. I mean, they were laced around. I'd never seen a straight couple walk through a piazza like that. It was the most romantic, beautiful,
and
gesture.
I mean, I mean, the thing is, I guess with their sort of hips locked together, probably gay. But like I said,
they were gay because my story has continued.
Oh, nice. I was gonna say it's just so interesting to see two men holding hands like in a culture like Turkey or Italy and be told later that they probably weren't gay, but this couple clearly was.
Oh no, they were totally gay. They had their like literally like. You know, and one of them was like a kind of his hand was just kind of on the top of his butt or hip, but not in a. It was not sexual. It was so sweet.
Right, it was just together.
I literally thought it was one of the sweetest physicalities I'd ever seen of two people in public, gay, straight, anything. Then after they cross the piazza, I see two girls and they are holding hands, and I'm like, I don't know if those girls are gay or straight. They both had really long hair. But then it was very obvious as they ended up crossing the piazza that one of them did touch her butt in a way that I was like, okay, they're gay. They're very, very young. We saw two pairs of very, very young. When I say young, I mean like they were young 20s at best, young and very feminine. Long, dark hair, both of them. One was dressed in camouflage pants and one had a short little skirt on. So the dressing was different, but physically like they're just like the hair was long and very soft, very thin, very willowy. We saw two sets of lesbians like that, both very young. So then we are in the big cathedral, the Duomo, the big central Duomo, you know, in Florence the next day. And we're walking in, and we'd already been to the Vatican, so we're like looking up and looking around. I'm taking pictures, very beautiful. The way that dome is painted, and you can go up in it, but I wasn't going to do that. And we were just sitting there taking pictures, and all of a sudden I look in front of me, it's the same two guys, and this time they're also both staring up at the dome, because we're all staring up at the inside of this painted dome, and they're looking up, but one of them has his hand just like supporting the back of the other one's neck, and their heads are leaned in toward one another, and he's just supporting. And I was like, oh my God, I like punched. Now, let me tell you this. I took a picture of them walking with their bikes across the piazza. Uh-huh. Then I took a picture of them in the
dome.
Oh,
I can't wait to
see
them.
With the hand on the back of the head. So I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, it's the same guys. And Carrie's like, it's the same guys. And I was like, they're totally gay. She's like, yeah, they're gay. Then the next night, our last night, three nights, we're in Florence. The last night, we had decided very last minute that there was this small church. It was actually an Anglican church. You're around so many Catholic things. Uh-huh. It's an Anglican church. Blocks from us, we were right on the Ponte Vecchio, right on the Arno, and we decided very last minute, it was like €20, you can go in here, and that night they weren't doing a full opera, they were just having some duets and arias. And
selections.
Yeah, selections of the most famous like Italian stuff you want to hear. Actually, the singers were extraordinary, they were really good. There's about 120 people because it's like a Thursday night or Wednesday night, and it probably would have only held like about 180, very small little church. And it's just a piano player and the singers. And who sits in front of us?
Oh, no.
The same two guys.
Amazing. They must have been on vacation, too.
Yes, of course they were.
On the same
track. Were on mine and Carrie's honeymoon. I was like, they're having sex.
These are who said hi to them.
No, we didn't get to say hi to them.
Why wouldn't you just say, see, if it had been me, you would've I would have been like, I have seen you guys three times this vacation.
I know, and I almost did. I almost did, but we didn't. We ended up getting picked up by Italian guys, one of whom was a hot Italian actor, 25, who looks like James Franco, and would have bedded me, I think.
Wow.
I know his name. I'll tell you his name. His name is Walter Nestola. You all go look him up on Facebook and tell me he is not McYummy.
Wow.
And I'm a lesbian. I'm going to show him to you.
Fantastic.
But anyhow, so we did not speak to the Belgian Amsterdam gays, but we saw them three times. I really felt like, you know, this is my language, but I was like, God is just letting me see this beautiful, beautiful relationship, and I've seen it three times with the same two people, so I can just be assured. Because I think there's a thing like, you know, it would be lovely to go to a beautiful place like that with a lover, or be in a place like that where you're,
like you're
in
safe.
Love and feel like you're just the, you know. And I have to say, I had the most wonderful trip, and you know, Carrie has a boyfriend, and we had the most wonderful trip, and it was fine that we weren't like a couple or anything like that. It actually changed it in a way that I think was really easy and beautiful, and you know, but it did just kind of let me go, oh, that like exists, that beautiful, beautiful couple. And it was, they were two, that was, they were, it was just one of the most beautiful physicalities of two people I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of people, a lot of people. It was just really sweet.
It's all about, you know, amore.
They were just in it. But they weren't sicky, and they didn't seem like they were all over. It was so easy. It was just like breath. I don't know. Anyhow, I'm off on a tirade. But
that's fabulous.
That was my gay. That was my, I mean, if Duran Duran's not gay enough, it's the other.
When we went.
Did you experience a lot of gay Europe?
Well, what we did was, there was one of the guys in the production cast when I was on that tour of Europe. He would call it, it was really fun. There was like, six gay guys who were of a certain age, and so we all hung out.
Yep.
I'm sure there were other gay guys on the ship, but we were all entertainers, and we were all kind of a certain age, you know.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, somewhere between 35 and 45, you know. And so Steven, who Megan calls Scrappy, because he's just a scrappy dude, or we call him the pro because he's that good. Every town,
I'm not even going to touch that.
Every town that we would go to, he would make what he would call the big gay map.
Yeah.
Where he would figure out the gay neighborhood, how to get from the ship to it, what's the transportation, and he would Xerox a bunch of them.
Yep.
And then hang them on his door, and that we would make a plan, and like, you know, it'd say like, gays meet at such and such, and anybody else can come anytime they want. Like, please feel free to join us, but the gays are going.
Yeah.
Boys, we'll see you here at 6. And then so every town had a big gay map, so we found like, a gay bar in Turkey, and a gay bar in Rome, and gay bars in Barcelona, and gay bars in, you know, so he did, he sort of did the research. I'm not sure that I would have been, you know that I've been going to New York at least yearly since I was maybe 20 years old.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a gay bar?
Actually, no, probably, I really, since I was 16 years old, right, going from, with school, and I've been to one gay bar in New York City.
Was it Stonewall?
It was not Stonewall. I don't even remember what it was. It was some dive.
You gotta go to gay. You gotta go to Stonewall.
Isn't it amazing? I don't go to. That's not why I'm going to New York. Because it's so funny. Most of my friends.
Well, everybody's gay in New York. I mean, you go to a theater bar, you're going to a gay bar.
And everybody, most of my friends in New York are straight. So like.
Oh, funny.
You know, it's not like
I took my first trip to New York right after coming out, and I went to some. I went to the Limelight, but I went to. Not Limelight, but I went to. I went to Ruby Fruit Jungle. which is a very famous lesbian bar restaurant. And then I went to
who wrote this? She passed
the
away.
Meow Mix. I went to the Meow Mix as a celebrity. They invited me because I was in Xena Live.
Brilliant.
They invited me on Xena Night. They found out I was going to be in town.
So,
and I went there. I won't say who I went there with, but I went there, and in my group was a very famous opera singer who is not out, but is a lesbian.
Wow.
Very famous opera singer. And I didn't know her prior to this trip. She just happened to be
right.
with somebody that I knew somebody. And she was pissed off that we walked to the Meow Mix, and I was like the celebrity because I was like this little 20.
Nobody knew who she was.
No, nobody knew who she was.
She's not, right. Opera singers are only so famous.
Yes.
There are those of us who love them.
Well, and I also had like a, 12-pack abs and...
Right, because you were doing
I look like Gabrielle, and she looks like an opera singer, so... I don't know. Actually, she'd probably do better in a lesbian bar than me, weirdly, but...
Yeah, the lesbians like a woman with girth.
I like a woman with girth.
You
I
do.
Like a little curve.
You do.
I like a little curve. All right, we have to let you know, because other things are going on besides my fabulous trip to Italy, but
amazing.
I've just really been wanting to tell you guys
back,
about
yeah.
it.
Glad you had a great time, but I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, it was easy breezy. It was super fun.
And the lawn is still alive.
And yes, the lawn is gorgeous and lush with all this rain.
I know,
thank
right?
goodness. The steam works, which is Chicago, the entire city, which is steamy, so hot and wet. Let that one pass. So let's go tell you what's going on
Cornel.
In the gay news. What was your name? Something Glam.
Oh, wait.
Lingual
wait.
Clam.
Lingual clams.
Lingual clams. We'll tell you what's going on in the GLBT news. And there's still some theater shows that you have like one more week to see almost that you shouldn't miss. And then we'll be back.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray appointed Dr. Saul Levin, Senior Deputy Director at the D.C. Department of Health, as director. This makes Levin the first known out gay person to serve as head of a city department of that size.
Boston Mayor Thomas Menino wants the fast food chain Chick-fil-A banned from his city. The corporation is looking for locations in the city. However, Menino says Boston isn't the right city for a business with such policies. And Chicago Alderman Proco Joe Moreno wants to stop Chick-fil-A's plans to build a restaurant in his Northwest Side ward. The restaurant would be in the increasingly trendy Logan Square. If you are discriminating against a segment of the community, I don't want you in the first ward, Moreno said.
At San Diego's Gay Pride Parade, active duty troops marched in uniform, the first time U.S. service members have participated in such an event while in full military dress. Spectators waved signs that read, "Thank you for your service."
In an alleged hate crime that took place in Lincoln, Nebraska, three masked men attacked a woman by breaking into her home, binding her with zip ties, carving anti-gay slurs into her skin, pouring gas on her floor, and lighting it. Aaron Thompson, a friend of the unnamed victim, confirmed that the woman who was attacked is lesbian. Thompson also said that three anti-gay epithets, such as the word dyke, were carved on the woman's arms and stomach.
Physicist Sally Ride, age 61, a pioneering woman in space, died of pancreatic cancer at the age of 61 on July 23rd. NASA chose Ride as her astronaut candidate in January of 1978 and was a mission specialist on her historic ride on STS-7, which launched June 18, 1983, when she was only 32 years old. Two Soviet women beat her, though, to space. Ride is survived by her female partner of 27 years, Tam O'Shaughnessy.
The newest edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or the DSM, is replacing the diagnostic term gender identity disorder with the term gender dysphoria. Advocates had urged the American Psychological Association to change or remove categories labeling transgender people in a psychiatric manual, arguing that terms like gender identity disorder characterize all transgender people as mentally ill.
A new report from the Black AIDS Institute states that gay and bisexual black men are at the highest risk for HIV/AIDS despite being a vast minority. While only 1 in 500 Americans is black and gay or bisexual, the group accounts for 1 in 4 new HIV infections. The report, Back on the Line, The State of AIDS Among Gay Black Men in America 2012, also found that a gay black male has a 1 in 8 chance of becoming infected with HIV by the age of 20. By age 40, the likelihood is 60%.
A year after New York State passed the Marriage Equality Act, A new report reveals the law has generated $259 million in economic impact in New York City alone. Included in the figure is revenue stemming from marriage license applications, money spent on out-of-town guests on hotel rooms, and the wedding industry in general. Before the law was enacted, a report from the State Senate's Independent Democratic Conference predicted same-sex marriage would rake in $391 million in economic activity for the state during the first 3 years after going into effect.
In Texas, Tarrant County College administrators agreed to pay lesbian ex-professor Jacqueline Jackie Gill more than $160,000 as part of a settlement in a federal discrimination lawsuit. Gill filed a complaint last year stating she was not allowed to interview for a permanent position in the English department on the northeast campus of Tarrant County College after her year-long temporary position expired. The college also added a written policy, not part of the settlement, banning employment discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity.
More Chick-fil-A fallout. Students from seven schools across the country have launched petitions on change.org demanding the removal or prevention of Chick-fil-A franchises on their campuses because of the chain's stand against same-sex marriage. The schools are the University of Illinois, Kansas University, Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, Ball State, College of Charleston, Wichita State University, and Minnesota State.
Alaska Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell has filed a new regulation that governs changes to driver's license and will allow transgender individuals to correct the gender marker on their licenses without undergoing major surgery. The regulation takes effect on August 11th.
In Indianapolis, police are investigating a possible drive-by shooting at the gay bar Greg's. A large picture window at the bar was shattered by what authorities say was possible gunfire. The bar's manager, Phil Denton, is certain that it was gunfire and that the place was targeted because it caters to gay men. No one was injured.
Jeff Bezos, the billionaire founder of Amazon.com and wife Mackenzie, will donate $2.5 million to help pass a same-sex marriage referendum in Washington state. With the gift, the couple will have doubled the money available to the supporters of Referendum 74, which would legalize same-sex marriage in the state by affirming a law that passed the legislature this year.
In world news, the Liberian Senate has voted unanimously to approve a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. Homosexuality was already considered taboo, while voluntary sodomy is a criminal offense. However, President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who said she would veto any gay-related measure, has the final say.
Serbia has become a hub for gender reassignment surgery. Nearly 100 foreigners and Serbs have undergone sex reassignment surgery in the past year, and the numbers are growing, with people coming from countries as varied as Iran, South Africa, and the U.S. Reasons for Serbia's popularity include the facts that the surgery is costly and so controversial in other countries in the region that shun it.
On the eve of meeting United States GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney, British Prime Minister David Cameron hosted a reception at 10 Downing Street for LGBT individuals, during which he renewed his commitment to legalizing same-sex civil marriage. Romney opposes marriage equality.
In Toronto, people are grieving over the loss of transgender activist Kyle Scanlon, who took his own life July 3rd. Scanlon helped found Toronto's Trans Pulse Project, was also a member of the AIDS Bureau, Ministry of Health, and Long-Term Care's Gay, Bi, Queer, Trans Men's Working Group.
And in entertainment news, Mariah Carey is joining the Fox show American Idol as a judge. Carey's salary may be as high as $17 million for the next season, which would surpass what recent judge Jennifer Lopez earned. The series is being overhauled in the wake of declining ratings and the failure to secure an Emmy nomination this year.
Yeah. Musician Frank Ocean said that being in the closet was like a boulder on my chest and coming out was about my own sanity in an interview with The Guardian. Ocean, 24, also said, I wished at 13 there was somebody I looked up to who would have said something like that, who would have been transparent in that way. He recently released the CD, Channel Orange.
Lady Gaga will make her acting debut in Machete Kills, the 2013 sequel to Robert Rodriguez's 2010 action exploitation film that starred Robert De Niro and Jessica Alba. This time around, co-stars will include Sofia Vergara, Mel Gibson, Amber Heard, and Charlie Sheen, with Alba, Michelle Rodriguez, and Danny Trejo as Machete returning.
Hunky actor Eric Dane, known as McSteamy on Grey's Anatomy, is leaving the show. He'll return for a few episodes next season, the show's ninth, to close out his character's arc.
Bravo Media has greenlit a second season of Kathy, Kathy Griffin's weekly primetime talk show. Each episode features Griffin and a panel of civilians and celebrities commenting on the week's most talked about moments.
At the end of August, Good Morning America anchor Robin Roberts is planning to take a medical leave for her bone marrow transplant. However, she's listed Barbara Walters, Diane Sawyer, and Katie Couric among her wonderful, wonderful friends at ABC News who will be subbing for her. Roberts announced recently that she has a blood and bone marrow disease once known as pre-leukemia.
And Sir Elton John has said that rapper Jay-Z's public show of support for marriage equality is a pivotal moment. John told MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell, Jay-Z, who's probably the most respected African-American artist, came out and said not only is it wrong to not have gay marriage, but any discrimination in life is wrong. It was an incredibly moving statement. I phoned him up in England and said, you have no idea what you've just said, how powerful this is. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and the rest of you who know who you are. This is Mr. Murray Hill, Mr. Showbiz, 5'4", and nothing more. I am telling you right now, this is the best podcast in the world. What podcast is it? The Windy City Queer Cast. Tune in right now and all the time for free. And tell one of your friends, even if they're not gay. Showbiz.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 30th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
It's been called the best new musical of the summer. Eastland tells the true Chicago story of the passengers on the ill-fated boat that capsized on the Chicago River in 1915. Unforgettable melodies and soaring harmonies give voice to the victims and heroes of that fateful day. For tickets, go to lookingglasstheater.org. Eastland must close August 19th.
Don't miss Immediate Family, a new American play written by Paul Oakley Stovall and directed by Tony Award winner Felicia Rashad. Modern family meets soul food in Immediate Family, a funny, heartwarming show set in Chicago's Hyde Park. Visit ImmediateFamilyPlay.com for tickets. Immediate Family, playing at the Goodman Theater, must close August 5th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Qui dove il mare luccica. E tira forte il vento su una vecchia terrazza davanti al golfo di Sorrento. Un uomo abbraccia una ragazza dopo che aveva pianto. Poi si schiarisce la voce e ricomincia il canto. Te voglio ben assai, ma tanto, tanto bene sai, è una catena ormai che scioglie il sangue.
So Mitchell, big news stories. We'll just touch on them briefly because this is kind of a long show, but the news stories and continual news stories about Chick-fil-A. What do you think is going to happen with this?
This is all I want to say about Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
If
your chicken ain't that fucking good.
Your chicken ain't that fucking good. This is all I want to say.
You can't say it about Cracker Barrel because their biscuits are that good. So that's a sacrifice if we don't go there.
If I went back and said, I'm a Bible believer, the Old Testament, and for years, and please don't be offended by this, I'm making a point, for years, the Old Testament justified slavery. Yeah. Cain killed Abel. Yeah. Cain was moved south. Cain was described as dark. The sons of Cain would have to be slaves. So, absolutely. If I owned a restaurant,
and said black business. People
and
can't
I said,
come.
And I said, no, you can come, but I'm giving money to a pro-slavery group because the Bible, I'm a Bibleist. Don't judge me.
Yep.
Don't judge my religion. You're being a bigot by judging my religion. I believe that slavery is what the Bible says. Would people, would there be people saying, do you get my point?
Oh, I do. And
so a friend of mine said, and this is really all I want to say because it's so volatile. And I could go on for too long. Friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, and a newly out man who I think is slightly paranoid about coming across as a shrill activist kind of person. He's very new, comes from a very religious world. In fact, he was in an ex-gay ministry for many years before he managed to come out. On Facebook said, can we all stop talking? Can we all get over the chicken? Aren't there more important things going on in the world? Did we all forget what just happened in Colorado? And I wrote back, what happened in Colorado was a tragedy.
Yep.
It's a tragedy. One tragedy does not erase another tragedy. Stop telling me that the Chick-fil-A, the momentum against somebody coming out saying, I believe in the Bible, so I'm going to give money to bigotry, is we have to erase that because of what happened in Colorado. I said, do you want me to start linking to every gay, lesbian, transgendered, bi person who's ever been harmed, killed, harassed, or abused in this world because of people who espouse the attitudes of this man? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's more than 12. There's more than 71. So, and then I linked to Judy Shepard.
Yep.
Talking. And I said, so don't ask me to be quiet about one. And I said, and I think that you're just being a little paranoid about coming across as shrill because you're new to the gay world. So I said, you know what? You need to grow some, Nancy. And you need to not kowtow because everybody's telling you, it's like, well, I'm gay and I'm a Christian. And what am I supposed to do? I said, keep talking.
Yeah, I'm gay. I'm a Christian.
Right. Don't tell me to be quiet.
It has nothing to do. Christianity has nothing to do with what the hell's going on with Chick-fil-A. It's prejudice.
He thinks it is. It's prejudice. That's what I'm saying. If I interpret the Bible as it was interpreted in the past to justify slavery, and I say, you can't judge me because that means you're being a religious bigot. You're anti-Christian. You're trying to stop my free speech. I think there would be such an uproar.
But the crazy thing is that it's so Old Testament. Well, what you're talking about with the race is obviously so Old Testament. But, you know, I mean, Christian, meaning the word after Christ, Christ being in it.
Right.
Was absolutely the most radical, liberal character.
He never mentioned the gays.
Well, he never mentioned gays, but he hung out with prostitutes and people, and who knows if they were
scantily clad men.
And yes, well, and you know, and women, scantily clad women. Right. I mean, you know,
my point is like to get into the religious discussion or the Bible discussion because I don't want to get into that because not that I don't want to. It's just it's a longer discussion than the show.
Absolutely,
because I think
we can do it at some point.
No offense, anyone. I think it's all silliness. I believe in Zeus and Hera more than I believe in any Bible ever written. So my point is, I don't even want to discuss that because to me, that's a moot point to me because it's just silliness. That's like Dr. Seuss wrote.
But even
Sam,
if you
I am,
do,
and so I get to. I get to have an entire worldview based on it. I do get to, but you don't then get to claim bigotry if I go foul. That's my point.
Well, and whether or not you believe in a man in the clouds, if that's how you think of it, or whatever, this book has had, and just coming back from Italy, lasting, powerful impact. And to me, I like to think that even though, yes, a lot of that story has led to wars and horrible, horrible things, and you know, and also wonderful things, you know, this story of this man, whether you thought whatever, he was born. I mean, he did live. You know, he isn't Zeus or Hera. There is factual information that lived about us, and whether or not he turned, you know, you believe that all the things that
the reality is. Okay, let's see. We said we weren't going to go there. The reality is, there's theories that he lived. There's no facts that he lived. There's enough theory that I'm willing to believe that there was a person of Jesus, but there is no proof that he lived. There absolutely is not. That is a myth that it gets perpetuated so that people can have conversations and not argue about religion. That is not true. It simply isn't true. There are enough theories and there is enough evidence that I'm willing to believe that there was a man named Jesus. But there is there's no proof. There's no birth certificate that says Jesus lived.
Well, no, there's no birth certificate.
Isn't.
But
so my point is, arguing the religious part isn't the point. The point is to behave, this guy, Dan Cathy, I think is his name, to behave as if people who oppose... Yes, you have the freedom of speech, which means that we have the freedom to go, absolutely, you're full of shit. And you don't then get to be pissed and call us bigots.
Right.
Because you've quoted something that, personally, I think is silliness. So what, I'm being a bigot because you're quoting silliness?
Right.
What if you start to quote 50 Shades of Grey and start to...
Well, but people will.
I know.
I mean, but I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean...
But I get to go, that's silly.
Well, I don't think it's silly. I think it's just wrong.
It's
wrong. I think it's wrong, and I think that, you know... I don't care how you believe, but, you know, if you are going to... I don't care what your philosophy is. Philosophy or religion or whatever you want to call it. You have a way of life. You cannot believe in God and have a philosophy of how you live. Of course, right?
I mean, you use the word spiritual. I'm a very spiritual person.
Of course you are.
It has to do with the Bible.
Exactly.
I'm
just saying that, like, I think it is wrong for anyone's philosophy to say that I am better than you, or you can think that, but then you can't persecute people.
That's my point.
And that's the problem.
You also can't cry wolf when then you get backlash about it. That's what freedom of speech is. You get to say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He has a right to give.
Absolutely.
But he can't then be mad and say, look at these lefty gay agenda bullies.
Well, but they're going to say that because what else can they
say?
But that's been going on since forever.
And then the point with my friend's post on Facebook saying that somehow this is sillier than that, getting involved in this issue is silly in light of what has happened in Colorado. Of course what happened in Colorado is a tragedy. But what I said to him was, the two girls who were shot and killed in a park last month, and the man who narrowly escaped his life when his car was firebombed.
Well, and these are all stories we just did.
Firebombed,
you know,
and they
in
were
a
car. I don't think they or their families are...
Right.
Consider their tragedy any less than what happened in Colorado.
Yeah, than a random act of somebody's. I mean, you know, one is a person who's obviously mentally ill,
right,
and another who is claiming that he is mentally sound.
Right.
And causing these problems.
Right.
You know, but
tragedy is not this.
Absolutely.
Something is a tragedy. The idea of a degrees of tragedy.
Right. Well, this is such an American concept.
It
right?
is. I remember once.
It's such an American concept to say, like, I'm better than or less than you.
Or my pain
or
is more
is,
than yours
this,
or worse
this
than
is,
yours.
This is on a... We have to put everything on a value scale in this country only, really.
To put this
I
in
think.
A comic perspective.
Or Western world.
To put this in a comic perspective just to
yeah.
tie it up with a little comic bow, kind of. I was working at the mailboxes, et cetera, many years ago during Christmas time, and there's lots of shopping going on. And I was trying to explain to this woman that she had waited too long, so her packages are going to be very expensive if she wanted to guarantee them on Christmas. So I gave her all the options. You can do this, it's cheaper, but it's not guaranteed. Probably we'll get there, all these sort of options. You can guarantee it, but that's expensive. And then she sort of chose the cheaper option, even though she waited. And then she said to me, and this was about 4 days after, no, it was, I guess it was about 4 months. I can't remember. It was very quickly after Princess Diana had just died. And she said to me that if her packages didn't get to where they were going, it would be the tragedy of the century, which she said to me very seriously, sort of South
you
Port.
Were like,
and I said, that's going to come as quite a surprise to Princess Diana's children.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It's like you can't make one thing a tragedy and another thing is now less of a tragedy.
Yeah.
That's my point. And also to those of us who feel, I guess this is my point, speaking to our demographic.
Yes.
I hate it when gay people are made to feel like we're being like we're being the puppy who gets on the sofa and we get hit with the newspaper on the snout to get off
yeah.
the couch because we're being a little too uppity and a little too loud and making a little too much noise.
Yep.
Fuck off. That's
well, and I think a lot of things. I mean, there, you know, look, this Chick-fil-A thing. It's good that you're fiery about it because it. And I am. I feel like it's a very important story too. But I mean, you know,
I'm fiery about the idea that we should be silenced because somehow we're being bigots. Or that we should be silenced because somehow the gays are going too far. Okay, relax, gays.
Yeah.
Okay,
but I'm
this
just
guy
saying.
Has
I
every
think right.
right
now there are so many. We're so lucky right now that there are so many straight allies. And
Rahm
what's
Emanuel,
happening
Mary
right
Menino.
Now? But what's right happening right now with marriage equality and just even as we heard in our international news, like more and more, you know, countries. You know, and leaders
Scotland.
Saying, you know, this is not okay. And of course, you know, same-sex marriage is something we're moving toward. Or
did you hear what happened right now with the day before Romney got to London?
Oh, yeah.
The Prime Minister.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great story.
Kind of deliberately asserted.
Absolutely.
Also, did you hear what he said about, because Mitt Romney immediately showed up in London and said he didn't think London was ready for the Olympics.
Yeah.
In some cocky
way. Of course, because he would know.
Right, because, you know, he did.
Because he's planned so many Olympics.
Well, he did that one Olympics, right, in the whatever, supposedly he saved it. But the mayor of London said, there's a big difference between being ready in a major, global, bustling, busy city and doing Olympics in the middle of nowhere in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So relax, Romney.
Yeah.
He's gonna
I think it's great. I think we know, I observe, my opinion, having done this kind of work, talking about GLBT issues now for almost 15 years on the radio, and with different people and listening a lot and just provoking them to talk has really been what I've been about doing, you know, is that it is about, you know, I'm happy to see that push and pull. And that's what's happening right now. More and more mainstream.
Yes.
Gay people are actually having some dividends with work that's been, you know, that's been pioneered for decades, that's finally coming to fruition. Our president has just said he believes in same-sex marriage. It's a change in stance prior to the second term election.
Yep.
You know, so right. I mean, I'm just saying we're on a momentum. We are gonna the Chick-fil-A
with our allies.
Yeah, and the Chick-fil-A's of the world, that's not the last that's gonna rise to the surface, you know, because there's gonna be push against this and we are going to be painted in a certain way. But I really think, you know,
stay strong.
History is on our side.
It is on our side. I guess I balked, and what got me all heated was, like I said, was the idea that I'm asked to, not personally, but like we are so often asked, like, hit on the snout. Hey, behave yourself. You've gone too far. You push.
But that's
gaze.
What I'm saying. You can't do that to a straight ally. He can't do that to a straight mayor or a straight alderman,
right,
who are saying, we don't agree with that. We believe in all people. Right. You know, don't come to our ward or don't come to our city.
Speaking
you know?
Of allies, I do want to do a shout out today. Is my best friend David, who you know.
Oh yes,
it's his birthday, and he may be the greatest ally. He's the best friend a man could ever have.
Yeah.
He also happens to be a straight man. The best ally I've ever had.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, David.
Happy birthday. And happy birthday, Helen Mirren. Her birthday was this week.
Yes, you're right.
Which always makes me very happy. The Queen. Speaking of England.
The Queen talking to the Queen.
Exactly. And lingual clams.
Speaking of lingual clams.
I'm glad to be home.
I'm so glad you're home.
Let's do this again next week.
Okay.
We have more to talk about.
So much to talk about.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Amore.